Mediocrity, defined as the quality or state of being mediocre.
Well, no shit. Thanks for nothing, Miriam and or Webster.
Okay. Mediocre, of moderate or ordinary to low quality, value, ability, or performance.
Is he talking about how I golf or how you gamble?
Wait a minute. Is this an oxymoron podcast? Happy hours are always awesome. They're never mediocre. You know what? Screw it. We've done 12 f***ing takes. The missus has called my phone 7 times, which means she's hit the bottle already pretty hard. I need to get home. 3, 2, 1. You're the best. It's time for another edition of the Mediocre Happy Hour, where anything is up for grabs. Golf, gambling, football, gambling on football, Plato's influence on modern culture. Hey, that's cool. My kids love Plato. Here are your guys, Millar and JSG. Good luck, fellas.
Welcome in, Mediocre Happy Hour, episode number...
It's episode 40. It's a milestone, because that's like...
Wow, 30, we're
39 more than I thought we'd get. And so it's the Gale Sayers episode.
Appropriate.
A little bit morbid, but, you know, he passed away, one of the great running backs of all time. I just thought it was apropos to kind of give a tip of the hat to the great Gale Sayers on episode number 40.
Yes, appropriate. Well done. And not greetings and salutations, but yeah, thank you, Gale Sayers. You were a pioneer of what we do and why we're a fan of football. So, you know, well done.
For sure.
We're here. We just had the last tournament, which was the Last Gasp, which, you know, in Tallahassee MGA scheduling this year is not the last tournament, but normally is.
It's 2020. Nothing goes normally.
Nothing is right anymore.
And speaking of, before we get to the Last Gasp, I was going to introduce our guest. It is the champ, the new prince, I believe is his current title, Jeremy Cohen. I wanted to... newbie king, new prince, whatever you want to call yourself. Yep. I just want to say welcome. And this is going to be weird for us because it's been so many OGs for a while. So
it's been a long time.
You're good. Thanks, guys. I'm happy to be here. Proud and honored to be on the pod here. And I'll do my best to represent the noobs. But
Already off the bat, I like that your name is newbie king.
Yeah, man.
Bravo. Well done. I know you can't appreciate see this that. on the Zoom call, but that's you know, bravo, well done. And you know, when we talk about noobs, it's anybody past the original founders of the Tallahassee MGA, which I think were only 6 or 8 of us. So
is it 6 years? You have to be 6 years in to earn it. Is that right?
Okay. I'll defer to Joey there.
Yeah, that was
the marketing manager.
Since this is our 6th year, as you may have remembered, I can't remember if you were at the previous tournament, but we have adopted Pete and Nikki and Bagoosh as they had joined the next year. As we've had some OGs leave the nest, we figured that the numbers got a little lopsided, so we tried to even them out a little bit.
Makes sense.
So Jeremy, I guess I want to talk a little bit about yourself. Before I forget, just because, you know, you're not only new, this is like your 8th tournament or so. Mm-hmm. One, just to make you comfortable, I did some light Facebook stalking. I'm wearing a UNC jersey, which I believe is where you went to school. But, you know,
Wow. Well done.
Hey,
yeah, man.
When you have a closet of like 40 basketball jerseys that represent colleges, it makes it easier to adapt. But you know, I guess how's your experience been in the MGA so far? As you are, I believe, 2nd year, 8 tournament.
Yeah, man, it's been great. It's been a blast. Everything I was hoping it would be. So yeah, real quick bio. I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee. So I was kind of born and raised a Vols fan. My dad taught at University of Tennessee. Went to UNC, so I'm a Tar Heel, and so is my wife. Been here 16 years, so I root for the Noles also. So I'm kind of all over the place. But, you know, in terms of golf in Tallahassee, for me, I've had different groups of guys that I've played with, but always like to have a little bit of juice, a little bit of, you know, some stakes, something making it interesting. And so my friend Jamie Van Pelt, I think, met Ian. They played together, and Ian encouraged him to Explore MDA, and so I joined up last year, and I knew on the first tee, my first tournament that I played, it was at Heilman, I forget which tournament it was, but, and you know, I was in the first group going off. I had like 25 guys, you know, barking at me, talking about I have my shoes untied when I, you know,
you talked the shit out of
me. I knew I was at the right place, man. So it's been fun.
No, it's great to hear, especially because if you've listened to the pod, your names came up a few times as a guy who's been in second or third, or a guy who was kind of in the mix and it just didn't come through. So it's good to see you were able to pull one out.
Yeah. I'm either in the mix or way out of the mix. It's kind of been in tournaments. So
well, welcome to the MGA. I mean, that's pretty much how it goes. You know, you show up on the first tee, you're like, yeah, I got this today. Yep. Or, you know, I'm dead meat. I'm just going to, you know, drink. And yep. so we do that a lot too. So,
exactly. All right.
Well, I would say as far as, I mean, I don't know, Joey, how we want to approach this. So, you know, going through the last 8 tournaments were all won by OGs. I mean, and we never thought the curse was ever real. I know Joe Petrovsky put a curse out there that never really came to of anybody beyond the OGs that had won a tournament. We knew it was going to come to an end, and that's perfectly fine. But I mean, you are the perfect representative of the noobs. You know, even as noob as you may be over 8 tournaments, so super noob. I don't think there's anybody else that we would have wanted to, if the streak was going to end, which it did, to win a tournament. So, I'd say congratulations. You won it, and you were happy about it too. And I think that's
hell
part
yeah,
of it
was.
Too. Yeah, hell yeah, you were. We'll get to the Rosé Chug, which, you know, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but
yeah.
But for anybody that was going to win, I think speaking from the OG chapter, we're glad it was you. It was well done.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, it was a good time. So bravo.
Well, let's talk about the tournament itself. I guess the first thing I wanted to cover before we kind of talk about our groups and stuff is, you know, we're playing the Last Gasp. Millar accurately pointed out we changed our schedule to put the Bastards closer to the Masters. We played at Southwood, which is normally, I say normally a nice course, but it was wet as hell when we played. And at least this was my opinion. That's why I want to talk to everyone. It was really wet. And, you know, our scores weren't as low as a winning score has been previously. And I'm just wondering if it has to do with the condition. But I just wanted to kind of see what everyone else thought of the course.
Well, I'll let Jeremy take that from here. I have an opinion, but, I mean, let the champ go first.
Yeah, I mean, I like Southwood. First of all, I personally, it's my favorite course to play in Tallahassee, and so I've always enjoyed it. But yeah, it was definitely wet out there, and you know, I was in the trap actually a bunch. I thought the sand traps were in good condition, better than I've seen them there and some other courses I've played. So I was kind of thankful for that. These days, you know, with no rakes, you never know what you're going to get when you're in the trap. But I found that it was nice and soft and how the trap should have been. Tee boxes seemed fine, and I thought the greens actually rolling faster. I'd played Southwood earlier and they were rolling slower than they were. They were rolling a little bit faster this tournament than that I'd remembered before there, but I thought it was in good shape, a little bit wet, but it suited me well.
So you did the reconnaissance mission. So well done. My group, and we'll get into this, but my group is in the sand all day and it's just, none of us could get out of the sand and really do what we needed to do. But I felt the greens were a little bit slow, wet, and I mean, you had to get it there. It wasn't like 16 at, you know, Capital City where, you know, a downhill putt, you have to crush it. but I felt they were wet and slow, but, you know, then again, I threw up a 97, didn't win anything whatsoever, but, you know, that's just kind of where I'm coming from. I don't know.
Yeah, It was wet enough where I was spinning back irons, and I'm not a high speed player. You know, that's, right. that's not
yeah, because you know playing. How to do that.
Yeah,
know.
That was just like that's how wet it is. The only because I agree with Jeremy, I Southwood's one of my favorite courses in town. The one thing that puts me on tilt there occasionally though is the carts when you go into a zone that it
catches. Oh god! Out,
and
oh,
you're like. Geez. It's okay if you do that. Can you just tell me I'm about to go into the zone so I'm not spending a minute in reverse coming out of yeah. the zone? Am I asking too much here?
No, not at all. No, screw Southwood. Screw yeah. you and yeah. screw your GPS.
Yeah, we found that on one.
Like, on one?
Parts we went straight into the fairway. We're on the fairway, and all of a sudden we're going 2 miles an hour. I mean, I think Kraske got out of this cart and was walking faster than the cart was driving. Freaking fairway, man. And it's not like it said cart path only on that hole or anything. So, yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah, just give us a heads up. That's all we're asking Southwood. Yeah. Just say, hey, you can't go there. Let us know there. So don't let us get halfway into it and then say, yeah, you have to go back slower than you can freaking walk.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. We had to reverse at least 5 times. You know, crossing fairways and, oh, I'm in the dead middle of the fairway. Oh, I can't go there. Great. Let me spend 9 minutes backing up. Yeah, it's bullshit.
Yep.
Jeremy, we'll talk about your round here in a little bit, but let's take this time to go around the horn, kind of talk about who we played with. But how was your group? Who'd you play with? How was the day with the other three or two people that you were with?
I mean, we had a blast out there. It was I played with Dan Petrosky and Aussie, I guess Pete.
Ooh, and, Aussie. Oh yeah, yeah.
And then Jonathan or John B.
Oh, and Brewster, yeah.
Brewster, yeah. Which I think is only his second time coming out. We had a blast. I felt like I was really supported by them all day. And
they pushed you,
pulling each other up. But anyway, I think
you got to be pushed. I mean, you got to be pushed.
Yeah. No, especially I think Pete did not have a good day out and
poor Pete,
my biggest cheerleader out there, which was nice. And after Dan and Pete took I think some fireball shots, it was Daniel fire, you know, whatever that terrible. And it was like, you know, those hot little airplane bottles that they had out there.
Oh,
they got loose after about 15 or 16, I think that is when they were taking those shots and it went sideways a little bit for them, but it was it was a lot of love in our group at that point.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, so. Yeah. When the fireball comes out, that's like the hugs Ooh. And hand pounds get a lot more fluid.
Yeah. And I don't know if you know John Brewster or not. Like I said, it's the first time I met him. Good guy. He's got a beautiful swing. I mean, he's you could tell there's a good golfer in there. And I mean, he parred a ton of holes. I think he had a 10 on one hole. And so, things went south, which happens to the best of us. And I think he was frustrated a few holes, but if he can hold it together for 18 holes, he's going to be someone to look out for.
Yeah. He's got in his two tournaments, he's got a second and the only reason in that one, he got into the putt-off and then he got a sixth in this tournament. So yeah, I have a feeling Brewster is going to be invited on this podcast sooner than later.
Yeah. No, I agree. My quintuple and my quad on the first four holes was not going to get it done. And so I was on 5 tee box saying, yeah, game over. at least for this guy. So I went out 49 and not great, Bob, not great, but that's awesome. Aussie's the best. You said you had Brewster and who was your other one? I'm sorry.
Dan Petrosky.
Oh, well, good old Dan.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Good Dan. Which I think it's the second time I played with him, and I like that guy a lot. We have fun together. So.
No, he's great. A lot of energy. That's yeah. you need someone bringing that. How was your group, Millar?
It was great. I had my one of my best friends, Robert, as a guest with me, and my two other best friends with. Buddy and Be Done, and we all rode together. I was done from the start, so those three guys I you know kind of ride with outside of MGA. You know, I love all you MGA guys, but you know everybody's got friends outside MGA, and those are my outside MGA guys that I ride with. And So I knew I was dead from the start because we were going to get after it. We were going to have, fun, and we did. And it was a good time. I threw up a terrible score, but I knew it was going to be that from the beginning. But we had a blast. We got, you know, we got another potential member coming in, you know, to come just slap the ball around. But yeah, after I would say after number two, where I threw up a quintuple bogey, that it was not going to be my day, and so I just kind of let it go from there. But we had a great time. It was really cool. Had fun. I love watching the leaderboard. I love watching what was coming down at the end. I know Joey, you you and Nikki Maz were you know, with three or four holes to play, you had a chance. I know at the douchebag, I finished one under in the last two holes in order to win. I knew that was kind of your scenario on the last two holes. So why don't you fill us in on your group there?
Yeah, I should have done that. I should have should have played a one under. That would have been better on the last two holes. I did not. I will say I had, it was a good day. I got to play Bob Birkin, fellow OG, and Jen Ben.
So it, fairway it was, Bob action.
It was a fun group. I did have one of these moments that I haven't had in a few years. I was on five, and I hit a shot where it feels like I just hit the tee. Like, you didn't even feel the driver hit the ball, and we were just lucky to be looking straight, and it went straight. So landed about, you know, do you ever hit your driver at like 80 degrees? That's pretty much what happened. And
been there.
That was an interesting interesting hole, but. Yeah, I had a good day. I got to go on the back to kind of get back into contention, and then I kind of bogeyed in. The most interesting moment was I put it on the green on 17, so I'm like, hey, I need a two-putt, and I have a chance, and I three-putted, of course.
Of course.
But it was interesting. I bombed my drive on 18, and we're like the second or third to last group, so most of the folks are down there, and Jeremy's
– Oh, yeah, we were watching you coming up.
Yeah, and it was without a doubt the best drive that I had, but you still got a far approach. And also I could think about it, I was like, okay, the chances are like one in a trillion, but if you make this, the force of playoff, it might be the greatest moment of your entire life. And as you can imagine, I smoked it with a big old pull and missed the green by about 30 yards.
Of course, you did.
But, you know, kind of one of the things Jeremy alluded to earlier, it was nice to have skin in the game. I mean, as we came down 15, 16, 17, I was like, I got a shot here. And, you know, playing mediocre, it was four bogeys, wasn't enough to do it because, you know, Jeremy did it. So good
on you.
Kudos to him. I guess before we get to Jeremy, I did want to say, Millar alluded to it, it was kind of the return of Nicky Maz as well. He hasn't really contended much this year, but it was nice to see him get a second place.
Well, he probably had tunes. So if he had tunes, you got to have tunes, Joe.
Yeah. We were behind him on 17, and I saw him. I saw him hit out of the bunker, and then I saw the ball go all the way across the green. And I'm like, that is probably good news for Jeremy. That is good news right there.
That was probably that. No, man, Nicky Maz is so, so up and down. He can contend in any tournament. He can also, you know, throw up a 101 even on any tournament. So, but no, it's always good to see him in contention. And as a new OG, we really need to see him in contention so we can, you know, get some more W's. That's what we do.
I mean, folks, don't get me wrong. If Jeremy wins a few new tournaments, we'll find a way to ask him to be a part of the OGs.
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Hey,
I mean, the more you win, the more OG you are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's understood.
I got at least four more years of eligibility in my newbie status.
It's true.
How that works?
It's true. But that doesn't mean we won't invite you due to Jerry. You know, we'll gerrymander the hell out of this if we
I see.
So I guess Millar, you ready to go into the champions interview, or is there anything else you want to cover about the course of the round or anything?
I guess from my perspective, no, not really. Mine was average. I knew it wasn't going to be my day going in, which you kind of always, that's kind of a weird feeling going in, you know, you kind of just know it's not going to be your day. and it wasn't going to be mine, and I was fine with that. I was playing with, you know, some of my boys. We're just going to go have a good time and, you know, drink a beer or 19 and, you know, kind of go from there. So, no, I got nothing else for my round. I put a few good holes in. I knew it wasn't going to be enough after the quint and the quad. I was like, yeah, I'm done. But it was really cool. Again, congrats, Jeremy, coming in knowing that I was the last group. So mm-hmm. I knew on pretty much on 17T, which also I had an awesome shot on 17. I knew coming in that I had absolutely no chance, and I saw Jeremy in the lead and whatever else was going to happen. So if any noob was going to win, I was glad it's Jeremy.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, no, and it was great that you really appreciated it. So, you know, the OGs are sick of winning these tournaments. Well, we're
definitely not sick of winning it.
No, we're not. But we are glad that it was you. Glad it wasn't Joe that won.
Wait, mm-hmm. Yeah. Malara, I do probably think you'd have preferred Ron Reed win just because of your crush on him. But
oh god,
you know, so I get it. Jeremy's here, but he's got a little. Mm-hmm. Malara's got a crush going. But Jeremy, I will say that before we jump.
Have you seen Ron's butt?
but yeah, I guess our first question is: we call it the peak and the pit. What was kind of your high and your low points from the tournament? And I got your scruff up. It looks like a fairly consistent round, but at the same time, I only see numbers. There's always more to the story. So tell us about the peak and the pit.
You know, in terms of a peak for me, I made some bombs on the green that I kind of had no business making. there were a few, I think 4 1 putts, you know, more than like 10 feet that I rarely make and that I was able to drain. I mean, obviously helped carry me through the round. And, so that was pretty fired up about that. Some of that stuff is as much luck as anything, but I was putting pretty well and that served me well, but there was one shot on 5 JSG. I think I told you about this after the round, I believe, but there was I just wanted to survive the first 4 holes, especially number 4, which is my nemesis. I think the toughest hole for me in Tallahassee.
It's the toughest hole for everybody who ever plays Southwood. You're fine.
Yeah. So for that one, I walked off there with a bogey and was happy and was like, all right, game on, number 5. And so I swung away and just blocked it straight out to the right. And I was down kind of near the pond in the rough on the hill, like the ball was way below my feet. I couldn't obviously drive my cart down there, so I had no idea what the yard
beep, 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 beep.
Couldn't see the flag. And so I pulled out a hybrid and, you know, the ball was sitting up. It was a pretty good lie for me. And I swung as hard as I could at it. And I knew
always smart.
I was aiming, but I couldn't see it land. And I got back in my cart and drove up and it was 5 feet from the pin. And it was sick. It was one of these shots, 1 in 100 shots for me. Of course I missed the putt, but still it got me fired up. That was the best shot I hit the whole round and kind of kept me in there. And I parred 5, parred 6, and it kind of set me up.
Well, you went out in 43. I mean, started bogey, 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 bogey. And then, yeah, nothing more than bogey going out with a 43. That's
I avoided the blow.
Strong. That's strong.
For me. Yeah.
That's strong.
Thanks, man. And then I guess the valley or the, you know, struggles for me. I had 2 double bogeys in a row on 12 and 13. And then 16 was frustrating for me also. I was off of the green. I think I was over the green in 3 and then duffed the chip. And then basically 3 putter. I putted from off the green because I didn't trust my wedge anymore. And basically 3 putted for a double.
Yeah, I've never been there. I don't know what's frustrating about.
Yeah, and we do appreciate your keeping it mediocre by missing the 5-footer after your best shot of the day. I mean, that's some real MGA Tour. That's some veteran stuff there, Jeremy.
That's some OG. I mean, uh-huh. you're the real deal. You're you're one of us.
That's right.
So, yeah. I mean, again, it's been clarified and hit that you definitely appreciated winning. That probably meant at some point you must have had a, oh man, I can win this thing kind of moment. When and where was that? And then, you know, how did it go from there?
So something unique about this one for me is that I was keeping the scroll for our group.
You knew.
I was checking the leaderboard, and I knew exactly where I was the whole time. In the past, I've won, you know, some other, I have like a buddy's golf trip thing, college buddies, and we keep score there, and I've won that before, and I didn't want to know anything about where I was. I was trying to stay in my head and play my game and forget about the scoreboard.
It's like my father-in-law. He always says, don't ever tell me what my score is through nine. Yeah. Okay, man, my bad.
Yeah, I mean, so that's typically how I am, and but I was, I mean, it was kind of a mental challenge, and I was able to hold it together despite knowing exactly what was needed and where I was at.
So did you look on 18? Did you know on 18?
No, I didn't. So we were the first group out, right? And so we were the first group to finish, and I don't have a good enough sense yet, being a newbie, of kind of what scores are or what, you know, JSG, you were, I mean, right there, and so was Nicky Maz, and I didn't know if it was expected that you guys would, you know, birdie par 17 and 18 or what, you know, score was really needed to win it out. So I think I finished at 17 over, including I picked up a stroke. And I had no idea when I walked off the 18th green if that was going to be enough to hold up. So.
Yeah, as I was a fellow scrawl scorer inner, which is that's a technical term, scorer inner. And like the one thing as someone who's had to do that a lot, like when you were at the top and you were, everyone else had holes to play, it's kind of like someone's got to do something special. Otherwise it's your chance to win. It's the antithesis of a PGA tour where you're like, hey, I have holes left. I can make birdie. I've always considered, you know, we're making bogeys is bogeys.
Right.
So it's like, it's going to come back. So I guess now that you were looking at the score this time, you said you've previously been a, you know, I don't really want to know. Going forward, are you going to want to know or not?
It depends on like how mentally strong I am and how confident I am in my swing. I felt great about my swing last Saturday, and so I don't know. I was feeling confident the whole day. If my game is shaky, then I don't need that extra burden of, you know, knowing where I am on the scoreboard. So
fair. Yeah, it's always interesting when you get to like about 14 or, you know, 15 of looking at that scoreboard and seeing, okay, well, these three guys are done and they are, you know, three strokes worse than me. Okay, if I play in the next four holes at, you know, even or one under, it's mine. I got this. It's a very odd and fun dynamic. So, I mean, we like scrawl for that reason. So, you know, it's a good time, but I'd say congrats. Well done.
Thanks, man.
And I will say, having one of our first FU opens, our first FU open was scrawl. I finished that day, and the course was in great condition. And I think I was in with an 83 or 84, and we were the first group, and there's like four or five groups behind us.
Hold.
No. I went in and started drinking. I was like, I won this shit. We're good to go. And then I end up in third because everyone else finished so strong. And that was so I was glad that it held for you. So one of the things we want to, as you know, and you got to experience the warm rosé chug.
We got to talk about that.
You know, talk us through your rosé chug, that kind of thing. How was that experience for you?
Well, let me preface that with after JSG. I mean, you've seen a rosé chug in the past. You've seen a complete down.
I've seen you take it down before like a beast.
I wasn't pointing that out. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Yeah. But you know, it is not required to take the whole bottle. I'm kind of glad you didn't. You know, I want to make you safe for you and your wife.
Appreciate that. Yeah. but I heard you say, I think in the last podcast, that you need to take the whole bottle down in order to get the right to not take the whole bottle down in the future. And I understand that I haven't gotten that card yet of taking the whole thing.
Okay. Well,
maybe that will be in my future. I'm not sure.
So when, you know, between the time you knew you won and the time you had to do the rosé chug, what was your thought about the rosé chug of, you know, I'm going to have to do this. What am I going to do? So take us through that.
Well, I mean, honestly, I was looking at my watch. So I and we were
meeting. Had your wife called yet?
Yeah, well, absolutely. So we had.
Because mine did too. It was like 7 o'clock. She's like, "Are you coming home?"
Man, that took forever. Like, and so finished. Took a long time for guys to come in, and then we were hanging out there behind the clubhouse, and people disappeared, and we were still waiting. And so yeah, we were supposed to be at a friend's house at 7 o'clock for dinner and to watch the FSU game that night.
You were not.
It was 7 and 9, and they were way up north, and I was sitting in Southwood, Rosé. I still had to drive myself home, and I'd had a few cocktails on the course, or a few beers on the course. So I was thinking, I'm looking forward to doing this thing, but I got to keep my shit together, and I got to get out of here as well. So, you know.
And for what it's worth, your Rosé chug definitely went better than the FSU game. And it was far superior to that.
Yes, it did.
Yes.
If I'd known
yes.
what the game was going to be like, I probably should have drank the whole bottle.
You could have thrown the bottle of rosé on the roof of Southwood, and it would have been better than the FSU game.
Yeah.
What did you think of the temperature? Was it like lava, or was it just room temp?
It was so hot. It was so hot. There's a backstory there, too. So, you know how on Southwood, when you're on, I think, a 15th tee box, and you're right next to, like, the 11th green?
Yeah.
And so Ian's group was on 11 as our group was coming up 15. And, you know, and Ian was checking the score that, you know, the score off, obviously knew that I was in the lead at that point. And I was feeling pretty confident, but I totally didn't want to jinx it. But I said to him, knowing that this was probably going to jinx it, like, how's that rosé bottle? Because he had, I was like, you can put it on ice, you chill it down for it, you know, and was sure that I was going to shit the bed after that. But I amazingly, even after making that request to put the rosé bottle on ice, I held it together the next few holes. Told me he's not going to put it on ice. It's going to be hot as lava for me. But, yes. Yeah.
Power through. That's the worst. Oh.
Yeah. So it was hot. It was hot. And I think I took down about half a bottle, and I'm comfortable with that given the circumstances.
Yeah, admittedly.
I'm obviously not comfortable with that. I was comfortable.
Well, admittedly, like if you would have been in the league 3 years ago, like that would have been a solid rosé chug. And then Millar and Ozzy and J-Webb started putting down whole bottles, and it kind of changed how things were graded.
Yeah.
So I don't know that a whole bottle is ever going to happen again. So I won't say I'm disappointed. I'm not upset, but I don't think the whole bottle's ever going to happen again. I think that was somebody has to do it and get it out of the way, and then we go from there. So just my personal opinion, I don't think the whole bottle's ever going to happen again, unless, you know, I win the Bastards in a week and a half, and then I'm going to down the whole bottle.
There you go.
Yeah, well done.
I guess speaking of, do you want to do a quick Bastards preview? I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we can. Yeah, absolutely.
That's coming up. Jeremy, are you going to be joining us for the Bastards? It's not this upcoming Sunday, but the following Sunday?
Yep, I'll be there. I got tickets, right?
Yeah, I mean, you do get Cap City.
That's not going to go well for me, but I'll be there.
They're better than the Southwood Tips, trust me, because I had to play from the Southwood Tips.
Okay.
So yeah, the Bastards, the Breakfast of Winners is hosted by yours truly.
Ooh, do we get a preview?
You know, I kind of don't want to spoil it. I was working on a few things, but you know, COVID has not been kind to scantily clad women wanting to come out and serve food. But I'm working on it. Let me say that. I will have something. There will be food provided for the previous winners. I'm sorry, Joey and Jeremy, you're not going to be a part of that. You can watch. You can, you know, ogle the people that are going to be there, but not quite figured out yet. But there will be something, and I'm excited about it. But you can't be a part of it. So you know, win the Bastards, and you know, we'll go from there. But there will be something. I'm excited. You shouldn't be excited because you're not going to be a part of it.
Well, that's it, the thing is, it's true. It's so exclusive. I'm actually jealous. I don't get to do this. I get to do most everything MJ related except this one fucking thing. So, Jeremy, is this going to be your first Bastards, or did you play in the Bastards last year?
I played in the Bastards last year, and I still remember some of the outfits that people busted out then. That was impressive. So I've not thought about anything for me to wear, but I gotta figure that out.
Well, you've got 12 days to come up with something, so you better come with it. This is a dress-up tournament, regardless of what other a-holes across the MGA, USA say. This is
you know
a
dress-up tournament. I'm just realizing now, because the timing of it is different, but that was my first tournament. That was at Highland, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So last year, Highland in April or whatever,
yep.
That was my first exposure to MGA.
Was that my birthday party?
Yeah. No.
yes, it was. It was. Yes. Because I didn't know anybody there. And
you're like, hi, I'm Jeremy. Oh, there's a party.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Nice.
So I need to step up my game for the Bastards for sure.
No, I'm looking forward to it because for me, I've decided it's going to become where I'm going to dress up like a former Masters champion every year. And I have this piece of art which shows the Sunday outfits of every Masters champion. And did you know Mark O'Meara in 1998 when he won? He wore like a brownish green pants with a gold top and a Toyota hat and white shoes. And thanks to the blessings that is Amazon, I have my best shot at it. So I never thought I'd wear brown with gold with black, but we're going to do a little 1998 Mark O'Meara.
Has the Toyota hat arrived yet?
It arrived today. So
can we get a sneak preview?
I can afterwards, because it's in the other room. But yeah, we're going 1998 Mark O'Meara. On Sunday should be not that anyone remembers what he wore, but I do remember him winning. And a little other trivia why I picked it: I once won like a short weekend trip by calling into a sports talk radio show, and Mark O'Meara was the answer because it was during Tiger's domination, and it was who was the last person not named Tiger Woods to win two majors in the same year, and that was Mark O'Meara.
Oh, bravo, bravo. Bravo. My sister-in-law works for KPMG, so I'm hoping to get a hat delivered so I can do the shortest jump ever.
Yeah.
With the putter in hand and do like that, you know, so that's kind of my goal. I don't know if it's going to come to fruition, but you know, we will see.
Nice.
All right. I don't know. It's been a great mediocre happy hour. Congrats on Newbie King. I don't know that there's a curse. Jeremy, do you want to address whatever curse that does not exist?
You know, what I will say is that there are other newbies who I think will win if given the chance to be there who were not at the tournament last week. And I think I still could have smoked him, but Baga and Jamie Van Pelt, JVP, I think are capable of stepping in and winning. Baga's not an OG, is he?
He is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he is.
An OG.
Oh, dang. Okay. All right.
For some reason, JVP complains about his six strokes. So
he does. Mm-hmm. That guy, it's a whole big sob story about how many strokes he picks up. But
it's
going low.
Yeah, it's weird, Jeremy. I have five, and yet I competed in the last tournament. It is a possible thing, you know?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. It's like the handicaps work out the way they should.
Yeah, like especially how his MGA handicap is very close to his real-life handicap. What a fucking weird, weird idea.
Wow. I mean, it's 2020. Everything's fucked up, right?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
But no, I agree with you, Jeremy. I could see him go through, especially with his length. His length is something different from everyone else on the tour.
Well, with the next one at Capital City, I mean, he screwed on 16, you know, just because of the elevation of that green. So here's to hoping he can, you know, figure it out and that he's not paired with me when I tell him a downhill putt is very slow. So, you know.
I'm going to go on a limb and say JVP is smart enough to not ask your advice on a putt
ever again. Ever again. Ever again.
Do you have any other predictions coming up there
we need to make bets. We have to make bets, right?
Do you want to make – what do you want to do? I would love to take me to win the money title. Do I have to get
– No, that's not even on the board. Don't worry about that. So I'm pulling it up right now. We have 24 registered combatants for the Bastards.
I haven't registered yet. I need to do that.
So why don't we each pick two and net total on two. And I will let the champ go first.
Oh man. I'm not looking at anything.
Oh no, you're fine. You want me to send it to you? I can send it to you.
Sure.
All right. You should probably take Wayne Wallace and Bagoosh. No, I'm kidding. All right, let me see if I can figure this out here. Here's the chat. Boom, boom.
I'm in. I'm on the website now.
All right. So we'll go. I'll go last because I win all the time. So I'll let Champ go first, and then Joey, and then me, and then we'll snake it back. So two people net with penalty strokes.
Mm-hmm.
For let's call it $25 a person.
All right.
Sure.
I mean, it's mediocre happy hour. We have to bet. It's what we do, yeah. Jeremy. Sorry.
I mean, all right. I feel like my most likely options are going to be, these are kind of the easy picks, but how about Kawas?
Well, you only pick one right now.
Then we'll shit. All right, Ian. I'll take Ian.
Oh, look at that.
All right. I think that's
Joey.
That's a good pick. I agree. Fellow Cap City member, fellow OG, myself. I'm going to
pick. Oh, shit. I knew you were going to do that. Damn.
Well, I like
to trying to get you too, man.
We know that's. Laura, you got two.
That's well done. All right. I got two. All right, give me John. Wait, is Yeatman the good one, or is John B the good one?
They both are. Jeremy played with Brewster, who isn't playing. I played with Yeatman, and Yeatman got fourth or fifth in the last tournament. So neither of the Johns are bad.
That's fine. Give me Yeatman. Give me hell. Give me Nicky Maz. Damn it.
That's what I was gonna take.
All right. I got Yeatman, Nicky Maz, back to Joey.
All right. I'm gonna go with a noob who has been kind of similar to Jeremy in that he's been sniffing around first place, but as yet to get through. No, I'm gonna take Alan Ball.
Alan Ball, good call.
I think that course sets up well for Mr. Ball.
Good call. All right, Jeremy, your pick, last one.
I mean, how about the guy who won at Summerbrook from the Tips? All right, how about
– yeah.
Let's do it.
Well, one time.
I'll be honest, Jeremy, I was tempted to take Millar, but since him and
I've been playing like shit lately.
The money title – if Millar gets like sixth or worse, that's great news for me. So I just want to take everything out of room for Millar. With all due respect,
right.
Of course, Millar.
With all due respect, I mean, you know, Jack plays. Understood. Joey, what's the line on your money title win?
Oh, man. I haven't looked at what places it would be. I mean, I think I saw my best guess.
Minus 225?
Probably, because if you win, I think if I get top five, I'd still take it.
You still win, yeah.
So it depends on how my play is, you know, and it hasn't been bad, knock on wood. So, but yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, you got a pretty sporty lead there, JST. You're in good position on the money list.
Agreed.
The only other time I won the money list, I won the last tournament of the year, and I'm just hoping that happens again since we're playing.
It coincides.
The most important tournament of the year.
It is the most important tournament of the year. I mean, it's a shame you guys don't, you know, have a trucker hat yet, but I do. So I will, you know, since I have one, best of luck to you to get that trucker hat. Just, you know,
appreciate that. With really me playing from the test of luck.
Yeah.
I need all the luck I can get.
It's always,
hey, somebody's won. We've had two winners from the tips. I'm just saying, not saying, just saying.
I will say though, the first experience from the tips is something to kind of just get over that. Mm-hmm. Hey, I've never played the course like this from this spot. Sure. So it's kind of, there is a cool thing about it. Cause it's like you're playing a different course, even though it's the same course, but at the same time, it's
like, a lot of driver six iron.
That's for you. It's a driver hybrid for me.
I was about to say, yeah, if I was driver six iron from the tips, I would be loving it. But it was a lot of driver four iron or hybrid.
Yeah, it's a lot of that too.
So one last thing before we take it on home. Jeremy, if you were waiting on bated breath for Ian to do the write-up, I wouldn't do that. I would love to say he's going to put a lot more time into it just because, you know, this was a relevant win. You know, a big win just in terms of the chapter, but I think we're four tournaments behind in terms of a write-up. So
it's not going to happen.
I think it'll happen. I just think it'll be a part of a write-up of four different tournaments.
Well, I was happy to see Facebook and Insta got updated relatively quickly. So I don't know if that's you or if that's somebody else.
He does that to see how many penalty strokes everybody has after the last tournament. So it's the penalty strokes.
Yeah, but you.
So welcome to three penalty strokes, by the way, Jeremy.
Bang. Shit.
But yeah. but to your point, Jeremy, Facebook and Insta, those were mine that got up. So those got up.
The marketing director takes care of those.
I waited till Monday. I thought we'd get a little bit more traction with the noobs. We'll take, you know, give you a day to celebrate with your family. I'm sure it was basically your whole Sunday was around the family asking you about winning the tournament.
I'm showing the check.
I'm pretty fired up. You could tell how happy I was and excited I was. And I've probably talked about my round for a half hour here tonight. And this is like, yeah, that's like 29 minutes longer than I've talked about it with anybody else. So.
Hey, I won. Oh, great. What's for dinner?
Yeah, you were late, so.
Yeah, it's 7:45. Where the fuck were you?
Yeah.
No, that happened. Same.
Get it.
All right. Joey, do you want to bring it home with the greedy teas?
Yeah. Coming up, I'm going to tell you why next year Jeremy Cohen is going to win the money title.
Hey there, Big Voice Guy here again, wrapping things up. Check back next time for another rousing edition of the Mediocre Happy Hour. Any rebroadcast, retransmission, or account of this podcast without the express written consent of the Tallahassee MGA is prohibited. Son of a bitch, you guys take this thing seriously around here, huh? Well, I'm gone.